Today marks the 10-year anniversary of one of the worst natural disasters in western Massachusetts history. Late in the afternoon of June 1st, 2011, a tornado with winds estimated at 160 miles an hour devastated a third of the city of Springfield. 500 buildings were destroyed. The tornado stayed on the ground for over an hour and traveled 39 miles from Westfield to Charlton. There were three deaths, 200 people injured. Damage was estimated at $140 million. WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill spoke with Springfield Mayor Dominic Sarno, who recalled the day 10 years ago and reflected on how the city has recovered in the decades since.
I remember it was just such a hot, hot, muggy, humid day. The humidity was almost like a blanket on you, if you remember correctly. And I remember, you know, in New England, Springfield, every once in a while, maybe you get a tough blizzard, winter storm, maybe a hurricane or rolls up the coast. But not in my wildest dreams would you expect an EF3 tornado to hit an urban center and really devastate a third of the city. But we kept getting reports that there's a possibility for a tornado. And you think, when you think of tornadoes, you think about Oklahoma and all these other places, Kansas. And when it hit, it was surreal. And we all scrambled to get to an emergency preparedness center. And as things were being set up, I have to first of all say to the first responders, especially my police department, fire department, AMR, the heroic saves they made. Stories you still hear about. They went into the, they went really run into the mouth of the whale here, and they made such great saves. And I remember Commissioner Fitchett, because it was difficult. Cell phones were down. We had to really try to communicate via walkie-talkies, police radio, and they had staged in the downtown area on the top of Union Street, AMR, and police as they were going in. And I just always remembered about saying, what's the count? What's the count? In other words, saying, how, you know, God forbid, how many dead? And it would come, you know, update, nobody yet, Mayor, nobody yet. Now, we did have about 32, 38 serious injuries, and thank God nobody was killed here. Three lost their lives in Western Massachusetts area. We were at the Emergency Preparedness Center, and it took a while to get there. We had to go two or three times into the basement area of the Ray Sullivan Fire Station area because the warnings, they had no idea where the tornado was going. We were all concerned about our families because we didn't know where it was going. I remember getting word to my family because we were sort of on the fringe of it. They said, just get in the cellar, get an old cellar, get in the cellar, get underneath the workbench there. And then we went out there at around, Paul, if you remember, it was either 11 or midnight. And I know Governor Patrick at the time made it down, Lieutenant Governor Murray, and I think even Senator Kerry had made it down too, besides all my people there. And we that's what I wanted to get across. So this is what happened. This is what we're going to do about it, and we're going to get through there through this together. Hope. And then we went down. We commandeered the Mass Mutual Center in downtown Springfield. And we had about 400 families down there. And we had set up there, and I remember touring that. So that was about 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning. Then I remember the guys, our dedicated men and women in blue, grabbing me and say, hey, Mayor, Dom, sorry, you got to go down, walk down the South End. I'm walking down South Main Street. Downtown in Summer Forest Park area, our utilities are underground. It was like Rod Sterling's Twilight Zone. Buildings were shredded. Lights were on, TVs were on. It was surreal. So then I wanted to get home and check on my family and just freshen up a couple hours. So they said, Mayor, you got to get out to East Forest Park, that Island Pond Road, that whole area there, East Forest Park. You won't recognize it. And I'm Springfield born, bred, and proud. I got out there about 5:30, 6 in the morning. It was unrecognizable.
You mentioned that the city was fortunate that there was no loss of life. I mean, the timing had to play a lot of that because it was 4:38 in the afternoon. Yeah. We ended up with two schools destroyed and a third damaged, but the children had already been sent home.
If this thing had hit at 2:38 in the afternoon, all our kids, including mine, would have been in school. And Dryden and Cathedral took a direct hit, as did Brookings School. They took direct hits. Now, if this hit at 2:38 in the morning, everybody would have been asleep. So, I mean, in that way, God works in mysterious ways. But I'll never forget, Paul, it's just stuck in my mind, through Commissioner Fitchett, now retired Police Commissioner Fitchett, and I, the contacts, and what's the count? Nobody, Mayor. And the heroic saves that they made, fire, police, and AMR. And you know what kept us going 24/7 for months? And a lot of the people that were around me, my city team, 24/7, their homes and families got hit. So they had to deal with having their homes destroyed, not only providing for their families, they had to provide for the city of Springfield. But what kept us going was the resiliency of the people, Paul. Everywhere I went, night and day. Man, we're gonna be okay. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. You look at it 10 years later.
I remember some of the experts that were brought in saying it'll be 10 years before the city recovers. So we're at the 10-year mark. Has the city recovered?
Yes, we have, and we did it well ahead of schedule. And I also want to thank, besides the Governor Patrick at the time, Lieutenant Governor Murray, legislator, Congressman Neal. Richie was my go-to guy in the federal level. We went, you know, we up FEMA, we had to appeal a number of projects there, and Richie was always the go-to guy. And I went after every dime I get my hands on for reimbursement for the residents and business community. And the big thing is we wanted to get to normalcy as quickly as possible, and that meant getting our kids back into school. We had to move them around, starting to make sure that we were able to get all the debris gone. I said, get everything. And I remember Chris Signoli in the old Cathedral parking lot, three stories high, the scaffolding, the tipping area there, where we were double checking on all the stuff that was being taken out, that making sure that any of the FEMA contractors came in, that they weren't, nothing was being done. And I remember we had the National Guard in. I wanted to thank General Smith, and we had worked out with Commissioner Fitchett. They not only helped me with the homeless shelters, at State Police too, homeless shelters, clearing debris, traffic control, and also patrolling the streets under the command of Commissioner Fitchett, carrying arms, which was the first time ever in the city of Springfield because of relationships. General Smith, Commissioner Fitchett, and I, that under the auspices of Commissioner Fitchett, we were able to get that done. And I think the biggest thing was getting street signs back up, starting to bring a sense of normalcy, and getting our business. We had businesses that opened up. We were able to open up businesses. Chris Moskal at the time was my acting chief development officer. We had businesses opened up within 10 days or 2 weeks less that were hit. We had them reopened, and we put signs all over the place open for business. So we tried to get to a sense of normalcy as we were in the midst of moving out of triage and rescue to stabilization as quickly as possible. And then we started the master plan. Behind the scenes, I started a master plan 2 to 3 weeks after that, to say, listen, we're going to rebuild a third of the city that was devastated, but we looked upon, let's strengthen all parts of the city with it. And the biggest inclusion of residential or people being involved, over 2,000 people participated in this master plan that we did. And you could see that I wasn't going to skimp on any money. Just do what we have to do, track it all. That was important, having TJ plan at all these meetings I had in the early morning meetings, make sure everything was tracked. Because you had to, first of all, you got to make sure you got to do whatever you have to do to save lives first, and then structure.
So was there a silver lining in the dark clouds? What was it?
The silver lining in the dark clouds was, number one, the resiliency of the Springfield people and the business community really kept me going. Number two, the great team that I had that made sure we did everything we had to do for the residents and business community and track every dime we spent to get reimbursement. And then we reinvested it back into the city. You saw housing stock came back bigger, better, and stronger. Schools, I built new schools, the businesses on it. And we were able to do some things off of that too. The senior center, the first ever major senior center in Springfield, the Ray Jordan Senior Center, Echoes. I mean, you name it. And the last thing I'll say is Richie and I worked very, very hard, first with Bishop McDonald and Bishop Brzezinski, on the rebuilding of the new cathedral, which is now the new Pope Francis High School. That was key, because that was an anchor. That's a huge anchor to that East Forest Park neighborhood. And, you know, we had many spirited meetings, Richie and I, with the diocese, and God works in mysterious ways, and it happened. A new Brookings was built, a new Dryden was done. So I can go on and on with all the projects. And the ashes rises a phoenix. Look at the MGM. I mean, the whole South End, my old South End Community Center was completely devastated. That's been newly built. I mean, I can go on and on all the spinoff projects we're able to do.